Strengths-Based Selling. Authors, Tony Rutgliano and Brian Brim. The Truth About Sales. There are two widely held myths about sales and selling. Myth 1. Anyone can sell. This myth keeps too many people in the wrong career. Only certain people have the ability to consistently perform well in sales. Those individuals have a rare combination of natural talent, skills, knowledge, and practice. Myth 2. There's one right way to sell. That's nonsense. There's no plan, program, or technique that's guaranteed to boost sales. Does this mean you can't learn from other salespeople? Of course not. You can certainly gain insights from studying other people's success. The key, however, is to understand that you must take what you learn and make it work for you based on your own strengths. Weaknesses and talents. A weakness is a lack or misapplication of knowledge, skill, or talent that negatively affects your performance or that of others. You can also think of a weakness as a barrier. To deepen your understanding of the talents you possess and the weaknesses that can get in your way, you can do a self-audit. Determine where you spend your time and energy, and what you get from your efforts. If it takes a disproportionate amount of time and effort to perform certain parts of your job, and you still aren't doing them well, that's likely a weakness. Talent themes. The Clifton Strengths Finder identified 34 talent themes. Talent themes, though they manifest themselves differently in everyone, guide us in quite predictable ways. 1. Achiever. They have a great deal of stamina. They take a great satisfaction from being busy and productive. 2. Activator. They can make things happen by turning thoughts into action. They are often impatient. 3. Adaptability. They prefer to go with the flow. They tend to be now people, who take things as they come and discover the future one day at a time. 4. Analytical. They search for reasons and causes. They have the ability to think about all the factors that might affect a situation. 5. Arranger. They can organize, but they also have a flexibility that complements this ability. They like to figure out how all the pieces and resources can be arranged for maximum productivity. 6. Belief. They have certain core values that are unchanging. Out of these values emerges a defined purpose for their life. 7. Command. They have presence. They can take control of a situation and make decisions. 8. Communication. They generally find it easy to put their thoughts into words. They are good conversationalists and presenters. 9. Competition. They measure their progress against the performance of others. 10. Connectedness. They believe there are few coincidences, and that almost every event has a reason. 11. Consistently. They are keenly aware of the need to treat people the same. 12. Context. They enjoy thinking about the past. They understand the present by researching its history. 13. Deliberative. They are best described by the serious care they take in making decisions or choices. They anticipate the obstacles. 14. Developer. They recognize and cultivate the potential in others. They spot the signs of each small improvement and derive satisfaction from these improvements. 15. Discipline. They enjoy routine and structure. The world is best described by the order they create. 16. Empathy. They can sense the feelings of other people by imagining themselves in others' lives or other situations. 17. Focus. They take a direction, follow through, and make the corrections necessary to stay on track. They prioritize, then act. 18. Futuristic. They are inspired by the future and what could be. They inspire others with their visions of the future. 19. Harmony. They don't enjoy conflict. Rather, they seek areas of agreement. 20. Ideation. They are fascinated by ideas. They are able to find connections between seemingly disparate phenomena. 21. Includer. They show awareness of those who feel left out, and make an effort to include them. 22. Individualization. They have a gift for figuring out how people who are different can work together productively. 23. Input. They have a craving to know more. Often they like to collect and share archives of all kinds of information. 24. Intellection. They're introspective and appreciate intellectual discussions. 25. Learner. They have a great desire to learn and want to continuously improve. 26. Maximizer. They focus on strength as a way to stimulate personal and group excellence. They seek to transform something strong into something superb. 27. Positivity. They are upbeat and can get others excited about what they are going to do. 28. Relator. They enjoy close relationships with others. They find deep satisfaction in working hard with friends to achieve a goal. 29. Responsibility. They take psychological ownership of what they say they will do. They are committed to stable values such as honesty and loyalty. 30. Restorative. They are adept at dealing with problems. They are good at figuring out what is wrong and resolving it. 31. Self-assurance. They feel confident in their ability to manage their own lives. 32. Significance. They are independent and want to be recognized. 33. Strategic. They create alternative ways to proceed. Faced with any given scenario, they can quickly spot the relevant patterns and issues. 34. Woo. They love the challenge of meeting new people and winning them over. The Strengths Equation. Your talents are innate, but talent alone doesn't make a strength. To develop your natural talents into strengths, you need to add skills, knowledge, and practice. These are all important and necessary parts of the strengths equation. Talent multiplied by investment equals strength. Prospecting. Prospecting doesn't come easy for some people. Sometimes the purpose of a call, the sale, feels like it gets in the way of building the relationship, at least to those who lead with their social skills. Use your talents to start building relationships through more targeted conversations. Your responsibility, activator, focus, or disciplined talents can help you keep on target with your prospects. Analytical, ideation, arranger, or context talents can help you find solutions and foster stronger goodwill with your customers or prospects. All talent themes are helpful in different ways for different people. Measure, measure, measure. A good way to measure how effective you are at prospecting is to keep track of your inbound and outbound calls, the number of people you talk to, and the outcomes of your conversations. Your ultimate goal is to land a sale, but your short-term outcome for prospecting is to get a meeting. Assessing opportunity. By effectively applying your talents and strengths when assessing opportunity, you can learn how to determine and increase your odds of success. When to walk away. Salespeople are taught to be persistent, to overcome objections, to stick with it, and to win. Many sales reps share this approach, and they need to. Sales requires determination and the ability to shrug off rejection. But there is such a thing as smart time management, and why salespeople recognize futility. Filtering out wrong customers is extremely important. Be successful. Strengths applied. Assessing opportunity. Ideation. Think beyond the obvious. When working to understand different ways to get in the door, look for a more obscure route that your competition has missed. Get creative. Brainstorm lots of potential avenues. Identifying solutions. To find a solution, you don't need to know all the answers, but you do need to ask the right questions. Jeff Nyheim from Microsoft Online Services had some good questions that salespeople should ask. What are the CEO's business priorities? What press releases has the business issued? And what interviews have the senior executives been doing? How do those activities reflect the business priorities? How does all this information translate into an offering you can give your customers to achieve one of their stated priorities or to solve a pressing problem? What value levers are at play? What things can you measure, such as revenue, customer engagement, and inventory turns? Can you arrive at a mutual definition of the opportunity? And do you think about the solution in a similar way? The operating space. Picture the operating space between you and the customer. The operating space is a way of thinking about your relationship with that client. This space needs to be full of quality stuff. It should clearly belong to each customer and should be built on the foundation of information and insights that come from the customer. You begin to fill that space by asking the right questions and listening closely to the answers. Then, you layer on ideas, discoveries, and solutions that bond you to the customer. Building internal partnerships. Increasing the breadth and depth of your partnerships inside your organization is crucial to providing client solutions. Make your fellow employees see themselves as an integral part of that process. To build your partnerships, treat your fellow employees as if they're key members of your team, and they're more likely to help you find innovative solutions. Price and scope. Before you go to the client with a brilliant idea, you should know the price of that idea. That requires scoping the solution thoroughly, now and for the future. This includes planning for contingencies, considering long-term discounts, thinking carefully about how much work the customer will have to devote to his commitment, and balancing the margin. Strengths applied. Identifying solutions. Connectedness. Your solutions should have an impact, not only on specific problems, but also on your client's bigger issues. They should influence the organization and the community in ways that people don't even realize. Understand that the good you do for your client will come back for you, even if it's not immediately evident. Building advocacy. Like everyone, you need advocates who will say nice things about you, connect you with the right people, provide you with the material you need to build solutions, and protect the great work you do when you're not around, and when your competitors are. No matter how diligently you do your research, you can't know everything and everyone. The right advocates already do. Strengths applied. Building advocates. Individualization. Build relationships based on what makes each advocate unique. Seek information that helps you develop an understanding about what is important to your advocates and what they need from you to strengthen your partnership. Negotiating and closing. Regardless of how you feel about it, negotiation is an essential part of sales process. It must be done and done well. It's easier to negotiate well when you lead with your strengths. Talent themes such as connectedness, positivity, or empathy can help you make an emotional connection with your customer. These themes can be useful in softening up prospects, so when you come to the negotiating table, you are more likely to be seen as an ally than as a rival. Strengths applied. Negotiating and closing. Input. Go into the negotiating and closing process more informed than the client and your competitors. Do your research about the customer's probable objections and the comparisons they make between you and the competitors. Serving, retaining, and growing. Even when you're making what appears to be a one-time sale, it doesn't mean that the relationship is an isolated event. After all, the customer might need only one car, one software package, or one black suit right now, but he may need another one in the future, and he'll be interacting with hundreds of people in between those purchases. Will that customer say good things, bad things, or nothing at all about his salesperson? The honeymoon. The honeymoon is the 1 or 2 weeks immediately following the formal signing of a contract. This is the perfect time for clients to find out what to expect from the sales reps, and for the reps to show what they expect and need from clients. The honeymoon phase is also the ideal time for you to ask what you need to get access to the company. And we mean that literally, a key card, an on-site office, or an invitation to the weekly staff meetings, but also access to the people who will be important to the long-term relationship. Referrals. A recommendation isn't the same thing as a passionate referral. You don't want your clients just saying that you're a good salesperson with a good product at a good price. You want your clients declaring to their peers that you're the only person they'll do business with. A customer who's willing to refer you and your organization is seizing an opportunity to promote a decision he made in selecting you. You shouldn't let clients miss opportunities to make themselves look good. And often, engaged customers will volunteer recommendations without being asked. Team sales. Sales teams are most effective when the product or service requires a broad knowledge space, when the clients have many decision makers, and when the geographical territory is large. Understanding the talents of your team members, knowing who does what well, is crucial. Members of the most successful teams have a heightened awareness of how they are alike and how they are different. Strengths applied. Team sales. Empathy. The dynamics of a team can often be confusing. Use your ability to pick up on emotions that occur within the team to help individuals better understand one another and why they may be feeling the way they do. You can help clarify relationships for team members. Engaging your customers. Customer engagement is built on a hierarchy of 4 emotional needs. The first one, the foundation, is a sense of confidence that you and your company can be trusted to deliver on your promises. The second dimension is integrity. Customers' belief that you'll treat them fairly and resolve their problems quickly. The third dimension is pride in being associated with your company. The fourth level is passion. Passionate customers describe their relationship with you as irreplaceable and perfect fit for their needs. Expansive relationships. Expansive relationships are the sweet spot of sales, and all salespeople should be striving for this type of customer relationship. Price is no longer the main issue. Your customer considers you a partner, and you start to act like one. Engaging yourself. If you're using your innate talents on the job, so much so that you're building them into strengths, you're likely to be an engaged employee. But employee engagement is more than liking a job. It's an intrinsic desire and passion for excellence. Engaged employees want their organization to succeed because they feel connected emotionally, socially, and even spiritually to its mission, vision, and purpose. Your relationship with your boss. To become engaged in your work and get the most out of your talents, you need to take ownership of your own engagement, and that may mean talking with your boss about how he or she can best support you. Strengths applied. Engaging yourself. Maximizer. Look for ways to strengthen your engagement by finding the things that are working well and capitalizing on them even more. It takes time. Building strengths is a lifelong process. But like exercising and eating right, Building strengths delivers results. When you put the ideas we have presented into play, you'll see the difference in your relationships with your family, your coworkers, your customers, and your boss. You'll feel more engaged at work. You'll feel more connected at home. What's more, you'll feel less fragmented and more complete.